Dean heard someone talking in his sleep.
Mama, no. My mom's gonna be worried about me. Yeah. Oh!
The young boy was exhausted. After they'd been brought to the Wired-In compound, someone had come to inspect them. A short, very muscular man, the dean had guessed, must be the leader of the complex. He'd had a drooping mustache and had once removed a fur cap to show a totally bald skull. His face was very badly scarred, as though someone had fired salt at his skin from a scatter gun. The man's eyes had roamed along the line, stopping when it encountered Dean Carter. Accompanied by one of the raiders, he'd stepped stiffly forward and paused in front of the boy.
I would be grateful to know your name.
Good. Will Good.
I am Grigory Zimyanin, Will. Have you and I ever had the pleasure of making each other's acquaintance? Your face is oddly familiar.
Dean had been bewildered by the man's odd, accented way of talking, which reminded him a little of Doc Tanner. Dean couldn't have known that the Russian had originally taught himself the language from a book published in 1911 called The English Tongue for the benefit of the Russian gentlemen abroad. The pockmarked man had tried again.
How old are you, Master Good?
That was a tricky one. Having seen what happened to the young Apache boy, Dean tried to guess what would be a good answer. He hadn't yet seen anyone who looked under about 12, though he knew that he seemed older than his years.
13.
Best you call me sir, I think.
A hand, in skin-tight black gloves, had reached out and touched Dean's face. With an effort, Dean had avoided recoiling. Fingers and thumb had spread wide, gripping Dean's chin, squeezing. Dean had heard his own bones creaking, and a little blood had seeped from his gums at the man's strength. Finally, he'd let him go.
Watch yourself, Master Good. There are those who would spread your lower limbs and attempt to penetrate you with their privy member. I do not permit that, but I can do little to prevent it. The loss that does not even whisper its name, as the poet had it.
Zimyanin smiled and patted the boy on the cheek, leaving him puzzled and frightened. Later, Dean felt himself sliding down toward sleep, welcomed after the rigors of the endless day. The work had been appallingly tough. They'd been roused at dawn, counted, and fed with ample bowls of hot, salty soup, then marched under armed guard to the nearest of the mines. The boy's eyes closed, his memory of the next 14 hours fading into a dismal blur. His last conscious thought was to wonder if his father would know where he'd been taken. Would he come after him?
Dad.
Son.
Ryan was sitting huddled in a corner of the corridor, some distance back toward the gateway, closer to the ruined entrance. There was still no shred of real proof that his son was anywhere within 1,000 miles of the redoubt. But if he wasn't down in the valley, working in Zimyanin sulfur mines, then he might be anywhere in the whole of the Deathlands. The food that Christina had given them was delicious, though it was already becoming stale. Water wasn't a problem in such a frozen wilderness, so Ryan drank deeply from his canteen. He lifted his head, leaning forward a little, straining his hearing. He tried to snatch again the faint, elusive sound that had disturbed him. Without any conscious movement, Ryan's right hand was on the butt of his blaster. There it was again, still only the smallest noise far off, but in the overwhelming stillness of the stone sarcophagus, it was unmistakable. Ryan stood, his Sig Sauer drawn, his back against the curved wall. It wasn't a good place to try to defend, and he decided to move out to the place where the passage divided. The sound followed him. There was an inexorable worrying quality to the pursuer. Or was there more than one of them? Whatever it was, it kept on coming, never altering its speed.
Like a bastard machine.
Ryan started running. The noises continued to recede and then advance when he stopped for breath. Finally, after about 20 minutes of this, Ryan had had enough. He was out of breath, doubling over with a stitch and wincing at the pain in his side.
Time to stop running.
He'd chosen to go toward the outside of the complex, halting as he neared the entrance. Outside it was snowing, the flakes drifting by on a gentle wind from the north. It was evening, the light almost gone. The tunnel was still dimly lighted by the remaining few ceiling lamps. There was rubble everywhere, Ryan picked a large pile to make his stand. He kneeled behind it, gun ready, waiting for his pursuer to reveal itself. The wide passage in front of Ryan curved slightly to the right, so that it wasn't possible to see what was advancing toward him. At his back, there was another 50 yards or so of the passage, then the open space above the endless, dark drop down into the valley far below. Ryan shook his head, trying to imagine what could be moving toward him around the bend of the corridor. It now cast an oddly distorted shadow in front of itself, from the brighter lights farther in.
Come on, you bastard. Show yourself.
Ryan steadied his right hand, holding the blaster in his left. The floor here was far more uneven, heaps of tumbled stones scattered all around. From the sudden slowing of the noises, it seemed as if Ryan's pursuer was finding it peculiarly difficult. The steps had become hesitant. The shadow still moved, growing shorter. Ryan squinted along the barrel of his pistol, centering it chest high, onto the middle of the wide corridor. A Sec Hunter android appeared in his sights.
Triple fuck.
The robot stopped. In the half-light, it looked a lot less human than when it had been standing on the plinth with its four fellows. The head was a mass of metallic planes, the ruby eyes reminding Ryan of Jack Lauren. It turned very slowly from side to side, almost as though it were trying to scent its prey. Its hands hung motionless at the ends of the skeletal arms, the polished chrome reflecting the overhead lamps. Ryan guessed what must have happened. The warning on the card and on the floor came back to him. Obviously, he'd managed to trigger the Sec Hunter, allowing it to somehow lock onto him and trail him through the redoubt. A droid like this wouldn't have much of a range, Ryan figured. Maybe his best plan was simply to keep moving and outrun it. Assuming it had been making its best speed, Ryan knew he could go faster. And it looked as though it would be clumsy on anything other than a smooth, flat surface. Get it outside, and it would quickly lose interest in him. Ryan stood, which turned out to be a serious error of judgment. In Ryan's imagination, he thought that the noise the android made was like an inward cry of triumph. Its head came up, and its eyes bored through the semi-darkness, straight toward the waiting man. It crossed Ryan's mind that the creature was probably fitted with some sort of night sight. The appearance of the hunter droid was so menacing that Ryan instinctively ducked down again. The steel frame seemed to quiver with a tense anticipation as it stared fixedly toward him. There was a long silence.
A malfunction?
After all, the thing was 100 years old. But unfortunately, it was not malfunctioning. It began to move forward again. Ryan risked another glance. His greatest worry was that the droid could be equipped with some sort of laser weapon. The moment it centered properly on him, there would be a narrow beam of lethal red light that would cut him in half. But the carapace of steel across its chest didn't seem to contain any kind of opening for a weapon. It was moving slowly, with an odd, clumsy grace, picking its way around the fallen chunks of stone from the walls and the ceiling. The distance between them was less than 20 paces and diminishing. The idea of simply running away was still attractive, and Ryan glanced behind him to the mouth of the long tunnel. He smiled to himself.
A dead enemy won't trouble you again.
Ryan stood, aimed carefully, and fired. Two of the rounds hit the middle of the chest of armor, one at the narrow conduit of the throat, and the fourth between the eyes. The 9mm full metal jacket rounds punched the android back in its tracks.
Gotcha, you tin can bastard.
The droid leaned forward at an odd angle, then resumed its careful walk, picking its way among the rocks, clawed feet lifted high.
Oh, shit.
The gap between them had now shrunk to barely 10 paces. The Sig Sauer carried 15 rounds in a full mag. Ryan fired 6 more, concentrating on the droid's head. At that range, it was utterly impossible for him to miss. All 6 struck home in an area no larger than a thumbnail, rocking the android. One of the crimson eyes blinked out. Its mouth opened and closed 12 times at lightning speed, giving Ryan a glimpse of a triple row of serrated teeth, slightly rusted. Its right arm lifted, the pincers clicking together. The right leg lifted, slowly, then lowered again. Dented and holed, the droid's head revolved clear around through 360 degrees, the one eye gazing toward Ryan again. These 2 shots took out the last eye, but it still didn't knock the creature over. Ryan backed away, as silently as he could, toward the opening, the freezing air brushing against him. His boots scuffed at the loose sand. The whisper of sound the sand made was enough for the hypersensitive oral receivers in the android's skull. It began to stumble toward Ryan, both arms up, the knives whirring at the end of the elongated left arm. Ryan turned and ran toward the fresh evening air, taking care not to trip and fall. Behind him,